Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, my brother?
Hey, my brother, I'm here. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. How's everything?
Everything is everything. It's good to hear your voice. It's good to hear your voice, my brother. It's good to hear your voice. So I'm sure the struggle goes on in Benton Harbor, Michigan.
That's right. Let me continue. Anyhow, this is the Reverend Edward Pinckney, the only pastor in the history of mankind to ever be sent to prison for quoting the Bible. I tell you, we had a glorifying week this week. We put enough pressure on Whirlpool to make a few changes, but there's a hostile takeover now. The police department is being downgraded, which we need more police protection, not only for ourselves, but also for the women and children. The fire department is being dissolved. I tell you, this has been one of those situations where people have to come in and talk about these things, because we are in a position now to move forward with the help of the public. We would not be successful unless the public step in. But on that note, I just want to read something that I've been working on, with my group been working on. It's called the Public Defense Reform Bill. And we are just one step away from passing this, or getting it passed, let's put it that way. It's called the Public Defense Reform, HB 5676. It says the Campaign for Justice supports House Bill 5676, which we created, the Michigan Public Defense Act, to overarch reform goals, a system that meets and enforces minimum American Bar Association and State Bar of Michigan principles for public defense delivery system, a system that has adequate state funding, a state system created in the judicial branch of delivering constitutionally adequate public defense service to individuals eligible for appointed counsel at the trial and appellate level, as well as in delinquency proceedings, including a nine-member commission to develop a plan to oversee an office of public defense appointed by the governor as a recommendation from the Michigan Supreme Court. The Michigan Judge Association, Michigan District Judges Association, Criminal Defense Attorney Association of the state, and from the general public, an office of public defense staffed by trained professionals and headed by a chief public defender, an appellate bureau headed by the chief appellate defender to oversee the appellate defense function, a regional office to oversee the local delivery of the public defense system. The number and location region will be designated by the commission. The commission established a plan to deliver service. Delivery is by a mix of public defense office staffed by public employees, public defense office under the contract with the Office of Public Defenders, nonprofit office and contracts, defense office, county offices will assist. Assigned counsel required to be part of each regional delivery system. We're going to be using the 11 principles. Compliance with the 11 principles of a public defense delivery system is required by statute. The commission established a policy implementing these principles. The Office of Public Defender established procedure to implement the commission plan and policy, including established oversee mechanism, qualifying appointing counsel, providing training and resources to attorney, providing public defense service, collecting data, and preparing reports to the commission legislator. The Office of Public Defense and its appellate bureau appoints counsel based on the plan established by the commission. Juvenile must meet with counsel before waiving representation. These are just some of the issues that we will be dealing with. I have been asked to come to Lansing and do some things for the people that never been done before. The reason unknown why they would want a guy like me to come, but I am not mad at all. Matter of fact, I'm enjoying the idea of being able to get through with this stuff. But anyway, before we talk about anything like that, Larry, are you there?
Yes, my brother. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Listen, why don't you tell the public a little bit about you?
Well, my name is Larry Pinckney. I'm a former section leader in the Black Panther Party. I'm the only American to have ever taken a case to the United Nations, self-authored, a case to the United Nations and won that case. Former Minister of Interior for the Republic of New Africa. I appeared on the McNeil Lehrer News Hour, PBS News Hour, National News PBS. And the bottom line is I continue to fight for the people, black, white, brown, red, yellow, people, all the people, all power to the people. That's what it's about. I fight against corporate domination. I fight against anything that is opposed to everyday people. Everyday people. The struggle goes on. A lucha continua.
You know one thing? You just said something that really, really pierced my heart. You say you fight for everything. Everything that's right. And I tell you, we in a real dogfight here now. What had happened here in the city of Benton Harbor is one of the most unheard of things you never heard of. Here's what happened. They decided, let me start at the beginning. The first thing they did, they decided that Benton Township should have their own water supply after Benton Harbor has been in control of the water for the last 30 years. What they're doing is taking revenue away from the city. And now what they're doing, if you don't have revenue to function or to pay your bills, then you have to start dissolving some of your units. The first thing they tried to do is with the fire department. Whirlpool has decided, they instigated the whole deal with Township because there was no reason in the world for the Township to have their own water because they was getting a kickback from the city of Benton Harbor anyway.
Mm.
So,
I hear you, brother.
Right. So what I'm saying, it just doesn't make any sense for anything like this to actually occur. So here, when the city of Benton Harbor was living and dying on the water that they sold to not only Benton Township but also St. Joe Township and also the city of St. Joe. So what was going on behind closed doors? Whirlpool was going behind the city of Benton Harbor back, funding. Now, you heard what I said, funding them or funding money so they can have their own water facility. And it don't make any sense. Why would you have two water plants right next to each other? I mean, doesn't make any sense. And let me finish saying this about how this come into play. Because without the water or without the payment they received from the township, which has maybe 60,000 people, Benton Harbor only has 11,000. So now Benton Harbor has to rely on the 11,000 to support the police department and the fire department. So now what they have done, on Friday, they laid off 11 police officers. They got rid of the fire department, and they plan on cutting more. But yet and still, we have allowed this to happen and continue to happen because nobody won't step to the plate. Nobody
won't say
Whirlpool
that's
is
right.
doing something terrible. So
that's
where I'm at. So we got to do some things that need to be done. And tell me, see, the thing is, once you get rid of the police department and once you get rid of the fire department, they don't longer look at you as a functioning city. So
that's
this
correct.
Is the whole plan. So we have to just take this thing to the next level. I know, myself, what do you think about somebody getting rid of the police department and the fire department?
It's called apartheid. It's
mm-hmm.
called apartheid. This is can you hear me, brother?
I can hear you. It sounds like it's got a funny sound to it.
Hang on. Let me just be clear about this.
Okay.
All right. Can you hear me, brother?
I can hear you better.
All right. Check this out. It's economic apartheid. It's
uh-huh.
about taking the economic control from the people. It's about saying that we are going to take from the people that which belongs to the people. Okay? The police
mm-hmm.
department, fire department, the garbage department, everything that the people need. So what do you do if you want to take over a township? Well, you take over the facilities that the people in the township depend upon. You dig? And that's what this is all about. Whirlpool Corporation, like these other blood-sucking corporations, because that's what they are, they're blood-sucking corporations. Whirlpool Corporation is about the business of stealing from the people, be they black, white, brown, red, yellow. They're about the business of stealing from the people and then trying to turn around and divide the people against each other. You dig? And we cannot allow that. It's time, as you would say, Reverend Pinckney, it's time, as you would say, to stand up, get up to the plate, stand up, stand up. You see, Whirlpool Corporation, like these other corporations, are nothing more than Enron. Remember Enron? The Enron Corporation that stole from the people, that wiped out everything that the people had worked for 20, 30, 40 years. This is what Whirlpool Corporation is about. And these Negroidians, yeah, I said Negroidian, these Negroidians who play the role of being nothing more than the Uncle Tom and Thomasinas, let us not forget the Thomasinas, the Uncle Tom and Thomasinas, who play their role in really pimping the people. They pimp the people. Be they black, white, brown, red, yellow, they pimp the people. That's what this is about. And we have to stand up, get up to the plate, and say no more. Whirlpool Corporation is a pimp. Let me say it again. It's a pimp, P-I-M-P. And we have to take a position to stop it right here and right now.
And, you know, you said a whole mouthful. That's what they've been. They've been pimping this community for a long, long time. And we have done nothing about it. And here's the thing that's so exciting about this. We have an opportunity to do something that's never been done before. We have an opportunity to stop them cold. One of the things that we must do, we must let them know. We must let them know that we're not going to take this mess no more. And the thing is, the people have to take a stand. Until we take a stand, it's going to continue to be just this way. And we need to move forward. We need to move. See, my thing is this. You got to rally the people around here. But the people been, you know, they always say, well, how bad they've been beat down. We've been beat down all our lives. You know, this ain't nothing that just happened. You know, so it's time for the people to stand up. When are you going to take a stand? If you don't want to take a stand for yourself, take a stand for your children and your children's children. We need to move this thing to a whole level. I want Whirlpool to pack up and get out of here. I want them to take all their machinery, take all their refrigerators, take all their stoves, take all their washer and dryers, and I want them to pack them all up and get out of here. And I don't want them to leave nothing here. Anything that they have contaminated, I want them to take that with them too. So that's how I'm looking at it, you know. So the most important thing, we got to stay focused, got to stay on what we're doing, and see where we at. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Absolutely. And the bottom line is this, brother, that we as a people, black, white, brown, red, yellow, we need to stand up to this nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we have to stop pretending that everything is all right, because everything is not all right. As a matter
That's
of
right.
fact, everything is getting real screwed up, and I could use another word, but I won't.
Mm-hmm.
So the bottom line is that we as the people need to come together and say to these corporations, you will not take our land, you will not take our water supply, you will not pimp us anymore.
Mm.
The time for pimping is over. That went out with Detroit Red, you dig? And we need to understand that we as a people, united, must stand together, because today it's us, tomorrow it's somebody else, and somebody else, and somebody else, until all of us are being pushed in the boxcars to Nuremberg, where they burn us.
Absolutely, and you got to remember this: it's the merging of government, the media, and these corporations. And give us the definition of fascism, right fast.
Fascism, in a very, very crystal clear definition, simply means that the corporate empires, which we have in this country, and the government merge together. They merge together. You see, Americans have this belief that we think, when we think of fascism, we think of Adolf Hitler and we think of Mussolini, right?
Mm-hmm.
We go, oh, they're fascists. But what we don't understand is that this is the 21st century, and we got a whole new brand of fascism, where corporations come together with the government, and they essentially run our lives, our food, our shelter, our clothing, everything. We are living in a 21st century fascist state. And until we stand up and say, no more, no more, we will not accept this fascist state. I don't care what you call it. You can call it what you want to call it.
That's
you can
right.
call it, well, you dig what I'm saying, my brother? The bottom line is that we are dealing with a 21st century fascist state, a state
Absolutely.
That says, I'm going to tell you what to do, when to do it, how to do it. We're dealing with a state that says to us, I know what's best for you. And we say, screw you. You don't know what's best for us. We know what's best for us. We are the people. We, the people, run this government, and we're going to take it back.
Very good. Hey, Ralph, is you there?
I'm here, and I'm listening. Wonderful, wonderful. And what I was thinking is, you know, like when we say we must take it back, what we must do is find policies that are best for the people, that is, all of the people, and we must find people who will be honest, and this is the big task, people who will be honest when they say they will enforce these government policies or legislate these government policies that are good for the people, not just the corporations. About 40 years ago, one of our members in our organization said, Ralph, you're talking about schools and education and these issues, which are very important, but the most important issue that is going on is they have now passed a law that gives corporations the same rights as citizens. And that crosses a bridge that will bury us all. Well, here we are.
Hey, Ralph, let me say this to you. So yes. Now what you're saying, the corporations and citizens have the same rights.
Yes, and the corporations have all the money.
They have all the money. So they're classed by a corporation as a citizen.
Yes, and you see, when corporations got citizens' rights, that was the beginning of the end, because now you see the Supreme Court has said they can donate as much money as they want to the political system, and they have the same rights as citizens. Now, you know, the person who gets the most money, the person who does all the publicity, they own the media, they own, you know, like we talk about the newspapers, television, radio, they're all over us. And I'm not going to mention those names of the people talking outrageous, ignorant policies. They are there, and they are corrupting the minds of the body politic across the board, the left, the center, and the right. All being subjected to lies that are not in their own best interest. It's just today, the corporations, we have the Tea Party out there screaming, and it reminds me of an age, I don't know how old our listeners are, but when I was young, they used to holler, nigger, nigger, in the South, and the economic situation of the South is the same as it was during slavery. We have, as somebody said, there are so many poor whites who fought for a system that they had nothing to do with. That is the education system. They were a half a step ahead of the slaves. And here we are again today, where the whites in the South, who hollered nigger, nigger, are half a step ahead of the so-called nigger, who was at the bottom of the economic run, and then went for the okey-doke. Now we have a system that is screaming again. The Tea Party is calling all kind of names. But if you look at any of those demonstrations, the people who go to those Tea Party demonstrations are nothing more than racist, paid hacks, because they don't have a job. The job they have is attending those rallies, and they're paid by the corporations, and the corporations are keeping them stupid, just like the rest of us.
Let me ask you a question, Ralph. So you said that some of these teabaggers are being paid by these corporations to come out and call names and everything else?
Exactly. They're unemployed. If somebody were to take a picture, some investigative reporter were to take a picture and follow them, they're all unemployed people who get paid to come out to these demonstrations. And if they're not paid, the demonstration is very small. This is what I
said. Let me say something on this, my brother.
Go ahead.
Let me say this. The bottom line, whether you call yourself Tea Party, Democratic Party, Republican Party, Goofy Party, Mickey Mouse Party, whatever party you want to call yourself, the bottom line is that we the people who are supposed to be running this country, and that is precisely what is not, I repeat, precisely what is not the case. We have the obligation, as not only citizens of this country, but first and foremost as human beings, to take control of the means of production, and by means of production, all I mean is everything that determines our lives, food, shelter, clothing, the right to a dignified life. We must take control of that, all right? And we the people, I don't care if we're black, white, brown, red, or yellow, we the people must take control of that. And so, again, I want to emphasize that we have to be the ones to sit down and come up with a plan, and some of us have done that, and we need to carry it out, okay? Corporate domination is real. Corporate domination, whether it's Whirlpool, whether it's Halliburton, whether it's, you know, the corporations that are over in Iraq.
Biggest petroleum.
Biggest petroleum. The point is, corporations run our country. Corporations control us, and we have to say no more. I don't give a damn if they're Democrats, Republicans, Tea Partiers, Klaners. I don't care what they are. We have to come together as a people and say no more. That's the bottom line. Organize. We are Americans. We are in the United States of America. It is time that we the people stand up for the people once and for all.
Well, Larry, that is what we must do to people we elect as representatives. But we have to remember, people have been so disgusted at the way the government is run that when they elect an official, the official says one thing, and then it's like Dr. Jekyll and Hyde. As soon as he gets elected, he does something else. He or she does something else. People have been so disgusted that we are operating now with about 23% of the people who have anything to do with the government. That is,
as my neighbor says, they are all liars. And my neighbor happens to be a white guy from Oklahoma, a Hokie. Okay? And he is correct. They are all liars. It is time for us to stand up as a people united and understand that. We elect phonies because we pay this phony system. We play the phony game, and then we're surprised at the phoniness in the game. How can it be a surprise when we ourselves are playing the game?
Well, that's why we must support Reverend Pinckney, and I'm counting the days, Reverend. Know this. I'm counting the days until you're eligible to run, and we're going to show this nation something right where you are to have a leader in downtown Benton Harbor to throw the scoundrels out. We have to get behind you and make your policies clear to all of the people eligible to vote for you. It's out of the people eligible to understand what you say, make them understand, so that you can have people around you throw the scoundrels out. This is our task, and we must do it under the worst conditions, because there is no freedom of the press, as Queen Mother used to say, unless you own the press. There's no freedom of assembly unless you own a hall. So, Reverend, you have a church. And we're going to do it if we have to knock on every door individually to make people understand what the issues are and to get them to follow through on their understanding with putting people who we can trust in power.
And here's the biggest thing that we have to do. We have to get out here, and we got to get out here with a plan and make sure that we have a platform to deal with these people. Because the people here, and then we got to educate them. You see, the thing is right now, people, they don't really understand, especially here, I can only speak about here in Benton Harbor. They don't have a clue exactly what is going on. They, you know, until it's too late. All the things that I was saying back in 2000 has finally came to pass here, and now they hit them, and now they want to know, what can we do? You're still not going to do anything. All you're going to do is run and hide. You're going to listen to whatever the media say, how good this program is going to be, and you're going to be living somewhere out on town land, on some contaminated land here in the city of Benton Harbor. So it's all been mapped out.
And it's epidemic. 10 years ago. Not only in Benton Harbor, it's across this nation. And the nation sits right here, you know, like north of New York. You think people understand things. Well, where all of the civil servants ran to get away from the inner city, the firemen, the policemen, the people who work in government in the city, they ran north of New York to have their lily white townships and towns, and now they've sold their water rights, just like in Benton Harbor, and now they're going to have to pay for their water, and it'll be water for profit for a corporation. So you say, hey, they're supposed to know better. How did they do this? Because they were bamboozled. It is epidemic what is happening. And so you don't want company, Reverend. You don't want company, but you got company. People who do not understand and do not care, and they get tricked because they say, well, we don't have any black people here. Yep, you don't have black people here, but you're going to be paying double for your water. The water supply is not going to be safe, and they're already low on the standards, and they don't even own it. And this is people are waking up and saying, what? What? We don't have our own water? We have the best water system in the country. Now somebody else is going to be selling it to them. So,
hey, here's something that y'all don't know. This is what Whirlpool did. They built them a pump to pump water from the Pawpaw River, which is inside Benton Harbor. And nobody is saying anything about it. That's illegal for anybody to pump water from the lake. You can't pump water from the lake. You can't pump water from a river without the permission, especially a corporation. And yet Whirlpool, the government is not saying anything. Law enforcement is not saying anything. Nobody's saying nothing. Yet they have built them a pump to pump water straight from the Pawpaw River for their golf course. And
that's because my brother Whirlpool is a corporation of pimps, you see, and pimps do what pimps do. And just like Halliburton and Enron and British Petroleum and Blackwater, they pimp the people. They pimp the pain educating of the people. It's about using the people and playing on the people's pain. You see, and of course, Whirlpool Corporation does this because Whirlpool Corporation is now considered to be a person, which we know is not a person. It is a vampire. Let me say that again. It's a blood-sucking vampire. Okay? That's the bottom line. Now, we have to understand what we're dealing with.
So, but here's the, how do we stop them?
We stop them with you, Reverend. Let me tell you, you may not take me serious, but I'm counting the days. I want to be there. I'm going to be there. When I see Reverend Pinckney, our leader, stand up and read the Whirlpool, the riot act. No, you're not going to do this. And have the teeth of a slate to support it and to send the bums home or make them pay their bills and make them pay their past due bills before they're able to leave home. This is what I look forward to, and this is what we must look forward to across the country. Have a platform, a program, and if the people don't follow the platform and the program, it's goodbye, Charlie, all over again. And this is when we're going to see, and I'm afraid for people, I'm afraid for myself, but I know we must do it. This is when we're going to see the heavy boot of fascism, because they're going to import Blackwater into the country to do here what they've done in Iraq and what they're trying to do in Afghanistan, suppress the people. And one of the things about slavery is that at least they had to keep people slaves with guns and chains and whips, and nowadays they don't need guns and chains and whips. Because they got chains on their mind. They don't need
That's
chains
right.
on their being. So we must organize. Once a month, we must have organizing meetings. We have to sit down and put this together because time is marching on. We can get
Absolutely.
Enough to have free breakfasts, to have programs. Get people to come in and sit down and listen. We have to have free education programs after school to get parents to come in and sit down and listen.
The bottom line is that these corporations have already done that. Blackwater Corporation was in New Orleans and killed dozens of people, maybe more, frankly, okay, in this country. We don't have to go to some other country. In this country. And what we have to do is understand that the battle is at our doorsteps. It is not simply in Iraq. It is not simply in Afghanistan. It is not simply in Pakistan. It is here. It is here where home foreclosures are reaching an all-time high. It is here where within the last 2 years, 4 million people have reached the poverty level. Let me say that again. 4 million more people have reached the poverty level in this country. We must understand that fascism is already knocking at our door.
Yes. Wow. I'm glad you said that, Chief, because I'm waiting for the people, those millions who have been hurt. And we have 6 million foreclosures, about to have 6 million more, and I'm waiting and trying to talk to people who've had their homes foreclosed on. And you know that's in a very emotional, depressive state. But there comes a time when we have to educate people to stand and fight because you have nothing to lose but their chains. This is the task we have before us, and I don't want to put it on one person. The Reverend, you've organized me, and I'm a believer. It's on you. I'm going to support you. Bring all the support I can. And I'm going to trust that you're going to do the thing that you say. And when you say the loudest, throw the scoundrels out, that rings in my ear. Tell them to go home or pay their bills. To keep their part of the contract. To put people on salary, which they have promised to get their tax put back to us. Pardon?
They're gone.
Well, you know, it doesn't get any better than that. You know, when we think about all the things that we need to do, you know, and everything takes time. We got to start planning today so we can prepare ourselves for tomorrow. And a lot of times we don't plan. We just go out there and do things. That's why things become all messed up. And remember, whatever we do, we know we're going to be infiltrated. So you know that that's going to happen whether we like it or not. So we got to prepare ourselves for that because it's coming. And let's get ourselves together. Let's get ourselves organized and decide how we're going to do this thing because it's more important that we sit down and plan it out, work it out, and then we got to work our plan and make sure that we stay in line with what we're trying to accomplish here because it's all about the people, for the people. It's for the future of our children. And if we keep that in mind, if we keep that in mind, we will be successful. Because nowadays we've lost track of reality when it comes to the future of our children. So let's take this thing to a whole different level. And here's what I want to ask you, Ralph. Here's what we plan in here. We plan on doing this through the NAACP. We want to file a civil suit against the school board here in the city of Benton Harbor. We got issues all planned out, but what we want to do, we want to map out a successful plan. And I think that the attack should be directly labeled at the school system itself, including the government in there, the governor, I should say. But we want to make sure that we're on point what we're trying to do. We know they got major issues. That's just one step, though. But we got so many things, so many issues to stand up and fight for that we have to decide which fight we're going to take on first. Until the time comes, we should be thinking ahead right now how we're going to handle everything. And on that note, Ralph, tell me a little bit, because you know about the school system.
I started teaching in 1957. That's about 53 years ago. And I learned about the school system. The school system that what they were supposed to be, and what the school systems are. And the school systems as applied to other people. The school system as applied to poor people. And not so long ago, I was talking to a young man, you know, who was poor and white in the North Country, right on the Canadian border. And he said, you know, Ralph, he says, you have a reputation for working for education in the black community. What about the white community? And all I said to him was, invite me and see if I come. Because you're a parent here, invite me. And he did invite me, and I came. And the result of it was, he said, I am glad you're here because they didn't have to teach me because I'm considered poor white trash. And he says, my six-year-old daughter isn't. She's bright. They cannot consider her anything but a bright student. We must fight together to make sure that she gets a decent education. So civil lawsuits. But first, before a civil lawsuit, we must make people understand when people are up in, I'm going to use the word, in arms, angry about what's happening, the lawsuits go better. Let's not just have one or two people out there issuing lawsuits. We know so much is wrong with the system. We can delineate that which is wrong with the system, but we must educate our people as to what is wrong with the system. And follow the dollar is all we have to do. Look at education and follow the dollar. And remember this, education is a one-generation issue. If you are not generated, educated, the next generation should be, unless it's fault of the teachers, the fault of the education system. And they've played this game since reconstruction. Oh, the kids aren't ready. Oh, there's not two people eating dinner. All this, that nonsense. All we have to do is look at Eastern Europe, and in one generation, the people who were peasants and serfs from Russia were making better equipment, better airplanes, better tanks, better material than those who we considered the brightest of the bright, German industry. They went past them like a freight train passing a tram. One generation. It can be done. Under whatever the conditions, we can do it. Don't anybody tell us that, oh, no, you know, like they didn't eat breakfast with two parents. But remember that orphans learn to read.
Hey, Ralph, let me ask you this. What were some of the issues in the school system when you were there?
Well, I didn't hear what you said.
I said, what were some of the issues in the school system when you was teaching?
Issue number one, the budget. the budget, the money. Understand, when you buy a loaf of bread or a quart of milk, a part of that is taxes. The government collects taxes and gives it back to the people in form of infrastructure, that is roads, electricity, gas, education, and hospitals. Now, we didn't control any of that. Those people have the money, and they're accountable to no one. We have teacher organizations that support teachers. We have supervisors institutions that support supervisors. Who's looking out for the kids? We must see the budget. The budget must be public, and it must be broken down. Public education. That's why they're running to charter schools, so they don't have to show you that. So the people, the system is not accountable to people. First thing, we must examine the budget. The budget must be made public. Dollar for dollar.
Okay, so that way we'll know. Ralph. So that way we'll know exactly where the money is going.
Exactly where the money is going and exactly where
And how it's being used. That's what you're saying.
And how it's being used. This is number one. We must say, how many dollars came from the federal government? How many dollars came from the state government? Where are these dollars spent? And what was the result? Nobody says, why are we not getting results? Now we have to look at, we have to make sure they make this public. And when it's public, we examine it, penny for penny. And then you will see nervousness. Now I don't want to get you in trouble, Reverend.
But you can't get me in trouble. Just go ahead.
This, you ask for that, and I will write it out. I will write it out because this is what I've been doing for 50 years. I understand it perfectly. I will write it out for you. We will discuss it. We will talk about it. We will
Good.
Talk about
but
it.
But that's what I want you. I want you to write it out because we're definitely committed to this. We're committed
Great.
To making sure that we improve our school system. And you said to start with the budget.
Start with the budget. That's what
okay.
it is. And you see, if our children can't read, write, and count, how can they ever survive? Not get ahead. How can they survive in a dynamic technological society where one person says we're going to add X number of jobs? They call for engineers and scientists. Well, if the kids didn't graduate from high school, they're out of it. We have to get them through high school. We have to get the young doctors, and it looks like they're not going to educate them yet. We have to send them to Cuba to become doctors so that they can come back to our community. You see how our system is broken? What? We have to send our children to a third world country to get their degrees, to learn. And they're getting their degrees, the fact that they're becoming doctors and showing up in places like Haiti, and Haiti needs it. That they have brains and they can do it. What happened to our system that we can't do it? I'm ashamed of myself. I'm ashamed. We allowed our system to get in that situation. But I'm glad that there was a Fidel to educate us. A third world country is educating our poor children. So
Larry, give me your opinion on this, Larry.
My opinion on
the school system. And how,
the school system is only a part, a component, very important component,
very
but it's nevertheless a component of the very capitalist, blood-sucking system, okay, that we're part of. Now, I didn't teach high school, but I did teach university. I'm a former university instructor, faculty member of political science and international relations for a state university system. Now, having said that, not that that means zip, the point is that this is a component of an apartheid system, an economic apartheid system that is about wresting control, taking control from everyday black, white, brown, red, and yellow people, taking control from the people and putting that control in the hands of a very select, minute few who determine our destiny. okay, whether it's the educational system, whether it has to do with factories, which are basically null and void in this country, whether it has to do with anything that relates to jobs, decent paying jobs for people. I'm not going to go on and on. It's not necessary to go on and on. The bottom line is that we need to make a systemic, I repeat, systemic change, a real systemic change in this country. Otherwise, it will continue to go from bad to worse. That's
well,
what I
in
have
New
to say.
York, in New York, we have an international language, and the basic word of that international language is DOLA. And everybody knows it, whether they come from Latin America, parts of Europe, parts of South America, parts of Asia, everybody knows it. And it's DOLA, called DALA. Follow the DALA. And people actually use that, follow the DALA.
Hey, and I agree with you 100%. Let's follow the DALA. But at this time, we got Libby on the line. Libby, come in.
Yeah. I've been looking over the dhbanco.org website and found some interesting things that I think listeners might like to hear. Let's see. The Herald Palladium is the company newspaper for Whirlpool in Berrien County, Michigan. And they have something here about, well, the headline of the story is Whirlpool has selected a developer for the new office complex. Now, not only are they building this gigantic Harbor Shores resort, but they're also taking more land from the people of Benton Harbor for an what they're calling an office complex. I've heard it called a campus. Now, here's what the headline says. Pizzuti, P-I-Z-Z-U-T-I, Companies of Columbus, Ohio, is committed to using local contractors whenever possible. And then it says in brackets, catch the irony, ? So we have a company from Columbus, Ohio, which is not close to Berrien County, Michigan. They are going to be overseeing this whole development of this new office campus for Whirlpool. But they're going to use local contractors whenever possible. And to the credit of Herald Palladium, they are starting to print comments after their articles that are not necessarily positive toward either Herald Palladium or Whirlpool Corporation. So one person comments saying, thank you, God, G-A-W-D, and Herald Palladium for our daily dose of all things Whirlpool. We were jonesing. It had been, what, 24 or maybe 48 hours since our last blast of all things Whirlpool. Goebbels would be so darn proud, so darn proud. Another person writes, let me get this straight. Whirlpool believes so much in investing in this area that they decided to spend their construction dollars with an out-of-state firm. Guess the area construction companies and those employed by those companies just don't match up to Whirlpool standards. So much for more local jobs. Read my lips. Whirlpool is going to do what is good for Whirlpool and could give a rip about anyone else. We love Whirlpool. To laugh. And there are quite a few other comments that are similar to those two, like maybe 15. People very aware that Whirlpool is not hiring local people. And let's see, it seems like there's one other. Yes, this is about the courthouse, the Marion County Courthouse, where crimes are committed on a daily basis. Innocent people are put behind bars. It has the highest juvenile incarceration rate in the state, highest innocent incarceration rate. Okay, here's an article. A sharper eye at courthouse New X-ray machine sees both sides of scanned objects. The new security equipment bought for the Berrien County Courthouse with a $50,000 federal grant is already paying off, an official said. An X-ray scanner installed inside the entrance about a month ago has revealed knives and marijuana. Now, it's a long, much longer article, but I will zoom to the comments. And one, there's really just one here, from someone named Joe. The courthouse can be very busy, but a cell phone ban put into effect several years ago has cut down on the number of people who show up to watch trials or other proceedings. Now, that's actually a quote from the article. So here's what Joe says. I find it very interesting and slightly disturbing that the people running the courthouse make this note in approvingly. I don't think we should be happy that they've managed to find a marginally justifiable restriction so inconvenient to modern life that it actually dissuades people from seeing our justice system in action. Cell phones are allowed at the U.S. Supreme Court building in Washington, but are too much of a threat for the court building in Berrien County, Michigan? Come on. So they did state in that article that the ban is good because it's cutting down on the number of people who show up to watch trials or other proceedings. I'm sure they're thinking especially of someone named Reverend Edward Pinckney.
Interesting. So what you're saying now, and they got the nerve to print an article saying that they got a device now to cut down on court watching. Is that what they're saying?
That's basically what they're saying.
Yeah. So now they have came up with a device that would now cut down on all the court watching that be going on in Berrien County. That is very interesting.
I think they're going to probably try to figure out a way to keep people out completely.
Yeah.
They're probably
absolutely
working on that. Yeah, they're working on that right now.
Well, one of the things, the people don't holler, they don't scream around here. They don't let them know that they're upset with what's going on. I really don't get it. Maybe I'm in another atmosphere, whatever it might be, because all the stuff that's going on here in this city, all the stuff that's going on in this county, all the stuff that's going on in this state, and nobody is mad.
People are not mad. You
have
to lead by example going into that courtroom, staring other people down. Everybody watches you. Everybody knows what you're doing. And keep on leading by example, and people will follow. With awareness. Call the dollar. Ask these questions.
It's not about people following. It's about people understanding that they themselves are affected directly. It's about people understanding that they themselves have a stake in this struggle. It's the people's struggle. Reverend Pinckney, and I adore him personally and politically, is one, and I say one, of our leaders in this country. He happens to be at this historical time and moment, one of the leaders, in fact, probably one of the foremost leaders, I emphasize foremost leaders, in the struggle against corporate imperialism, internal corporate imperialism, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But we must understand that Reverend Pinckney represents that which is going on and which must increase and go on all over this country. We, the people, I go back to what I consistently say, we, the people, black, white, brown, red, yellow, we, the people, must come together and understand that we are being picked, ripped off, used, abused, and had bamboozled, as Malcolm used to say, Malcolm X. We have to understand that the only way to change this is not by following Reverend Pinckney, but by following the lead of what Reverend Pinckney represents. Reverend Edward Pinckney represents the will of the people. And the will of the people is stronger than the man's technology. In other words, all I mean by that is that the people know innately what is right and wrong, but we must put it before them in terms that are irrefutable, what is before them, and they will make the correct decision. It is the people, and Reverend Pinckney is one of our foremost leaders in this national and international struggle.
May I add that Reverend Pinckney, you, we, and everyone else too, are the people. And we must always consider ourselves the people and representing a people's voice, as you put it. So we, the people, including Reverend Pinckney, must have a voice that is true, clear, and representative of the interests of the people.
Yes, and I agree with that. And also what Larry was saying before about it isn't necessarily that we need to be followers, but we each have a personal responsibility to wake up to what's going on and know
right.
our part in it, know our part in it, know our responsibility to,
right.
yeah.
Go ahead.
I just also want to say that I don't even have the words to the adjectives to describe the Benton Harbor whirlpool, whole big huge thing that's going on down there. But I haven't heard of anything in the whole entire U.S. that is like what's going on there. Although maybe we could liken it to New Orleans in a way. I'm not sure. But this is a very unique and horrible, just, I want to say crime being committed, but it's many crimes being committed. And the fact that so few people know about it, it's just bizarre.
Yeah. But you know, it reminds me of Nazi Germany, you know, when the whole world knew that they were exterminating the Jewish people, and nobody said a thing. And then at the end, everybody said, well, we should have done something about it. This reminds me of. This reminds me of how they're doing this, how they're planning this, how they're executing this, and they're using the court system, they're using every tool that they have, and they're using it to destroy us. And this is what it's all about. Here's where we have to take a stand and keep spreading the word.
And if you want to compare it to other, you know, just gigantic crimes of humanity,
mm-hmm.
there have been many Holocausts.
Oh, yeah.
There have been many genocides.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We, unfortunately, I think the media and Hollywood tries to tell us that the only Holocaust is that
mm-hmm.
one in Germany that we know
That's
about,
right.
but there have been many, many, many more.
Right. They got one going in Palestine right now.
Mm-hmm. And I always say the biggest one, you know, I'm a New Yorker, and everything in New York has to be bigger and better. So my Holocaust is bigger than yours, although that's politically incorrect. Let's talk about King Leopold, the Congo, European governments, and 100 million Africans.
Yeah,
yep. Let's talk
absolutely.
About that. So, I'm against all genocide. I'm against all oppressions of all people. Let us all remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have to be against it. Whether, you know, and if you're not against these things, something has to be wrong with you. But listen, we only got 60 seconds left. Larry, say something.
Well, all I can say is this. This struggle is a people's struggle. It's not a Muslim struggle. It's not a Catholic struggle. It's not a Protestant struggle, a Buddhist struggle, a Hindu struggle. It is the people's struggle, damn it. And
That's
it's time that we understand that it's a struggle for the people. Every day, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people And this is what we must be fighting for. Let us not be sidetracked. Let us not be distracted. Let us not be tricked. Let us not be bamboozled. All, I repeat, all power to the people.
Ralph, go ahead.
Follow Donna, and I have access to a computer program that can follow every educational penny, where it comes from and where it goes to. You want to fight these people, tell them you're going to bring in the people with the program. Everything that can track every penny.
Okay, let me say something.
I'm just glad there's a currently still an internet and a blog talk radio, so these we can talk about these things because there aren't very many places you can.
That's right. And this is what we do. This is how we neutralize the corporate media, by using the internet. And on that note, the show is over. And listen, same time next week. Let's get together, Lily. Hey, appreciate all of y'all. You did a great job tonight. So let's stay positive and stay focused on the issues and deal with these things. And we have no more time on this show. I will talk to you all later. God bless y'all. Keep up the good work. And if nobody else loves y'all in the world, Reverend Pinckney, love you.
Love you,
talk
too.
To you later.
Love you,
all right,
too.
My brother.
All right.
Take care now.
Good night.
Bye.